by the tens of thousands are losing their jobs almost overnight. We've hit more than 1,670 COVID-19 cases. That is 16 times the number of infections that we had a fortnight ago. And that's doubling every 3.5 days. Centrelink queues, they're snaking around city blocks. Confusion is reigning on closures and rules. And the question is there to be asked, can our politicians organise a shutdown in a pandemic? Or a pandemic even. Laura Tingle may be able to answer that for me, Chief Political Correspondent, 7:30. Can they do that, Laura? Can they organise a shutdown in a pandemic?
I'm going to take a controversial view, Mr. Green, and say...
Go for it.
it's not pretty. They're doing their best. As they say in the medical profession, they're doing as well as can be expected. I think there are a couple of things here. One of them is that this is literally, we always say unprecedented, but this really is literally unprecedented. Somebody responded to a tweet I put up the other day and said, this looks pretty ad hoc. And I was thinking, oh, sorry.
What did you want?
I went to the supermarket and bought a tailor-made response to something we've never seen before. Look, it's not pretty, and there are all these really big dilemmas. I mean, if you're an immunologist, you'd say shut the joint down straight away. But I think those
and why wouldn't we listen to that?
Well, we would listen to it if that was the only issue around. But there are so many complexities and swirly bits in all of this.
Yeah.
And if we looked at those, really quite shocking images from around the country today of those queues snaking around the Centrelink offices, that to me is why this is so complicated, because you shut down the country in a 24-hour period, mm-hmm. and the shockwaves are just enormous. Now, the government and the medical officials who advise them, I think, have been trying to sort of gradually educate us that, this is actually quite serious. They've probably not been sort of quite aggressive enough about that, either in their messaging or in their actions. We've just sort of seen over the weekend all these extraordinary images of people just going, oh, well, this is just complete crap, to coin a phrase. And of course, we've got this really confusing signal of them saying, oh, no, it's fine to go to schools, but, don't stand within 4 metres of anybody else.
Well, I want to come back to that, because there's a sense in that of conflict between various tiers of government. But on that question of being organised for this, I mean, if you come out on a day, as happened yesterday, and say that we're closing down a lot of stuff, you will therefore expect that a lot of people are suddenly going to be out of work.
Yeah.
Why do you have then technology that crashes, the YouGov site? Why then do you have people directed to, surely that is an anticipatable consequence of the announcements that were made on Sunday.
It might have been a bit anticipatable in a short-term sense, Jonathan, but I think, the reality is that we've been grinding down the mechanisms of government for 30 years. I mean, seriously, we don't actually have the mechanisms to just be able to crank this up again and say, there are going to be a million people out of work. We're going to need, bigger call centres to deal with this or whatever. We have so devalued the role of government. I don't mean politicians, but of government,
that
we don't have those facilities in place to just be able to sort of dust them off the sort of storage shelf and bring them out again.
And that may yet show up in our health system. I mean, it's the same phenomenon.
Well, it is, and that's going to be the real test. I mean, the extent to which we can, and this has been the real debate, the front end of this debate has been about the health side of things and about trying to slow the virus enough so that it wouldn't overwhelm the ICU units. Now, Norman Swan saying today the New South Wales system is going to be swamped by the 10th of April, which is a pretty terrifying image.
Chilling thing, is it not? I mean, and to be able to predict that with that certainty.
Yeah. You really, really, really hope he's wrong, don't you?
That thing, though, I mean, yesterday we had the New South Wales and the Victorian premiers getting out ahead of, or perhaps trying to pressure the federal government into a position of greater severity.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on in that room, in that national cabinet now? Is there a consensus on how tough we should be, or are things fraying?
I think things are fraying, and I mean that, which suggests they're all together in the first place, which is probably not right. But
that herd of cats.
And I think it's one of those things where, the New South Wales and Victorian governments in particular were pushing for faster action last week, and were persuaded to stay sort of in the cart by the federal government, who I think do have an eye to trying to sort of work out, the shock waves that this is causing in the economy, which are, of course, massive. There are estimates that you've already got 200,000 people who've lost their jobs in hospitality in the last couple of weeks. And, anecdotally, anybody in their favourite restaurants just had to close and put off all their workers and all those sorts of things.
And they can't get extra money until, late in April. I mean, that's another thing here. Why this wait?
Well, that's the really dodgy bit of this, Jonathan, that essentially the first stimulus package, which was announced about 10 days ago, without a doubt there was a bit of political cynicism in that, that they wanted all the money to flow into the June quarter, i.e. after the 31st of March.
I really don't want to hear this.
Well, the cynical bit was they wanted to avoid that what the awfully termed negative growth quarter, which would have led to a recession, being formally declared. Now, I think they know that that's not going to happen, but, Labor in Parliament today has been sort of saying to them, look, what's the point of giving people money in April? That's a couple of weeks away, and some people have got $10 in their pocket. You've got to start giving people money straight away, and the government would not budge on that. And the only possible reason you can say for that is that they are still hoping beyond hope that they can avoid that recession number. Well, I think most people would anecdotally say, well, you're well beyond that, guys, and can we just get on with it? But they weren't prepared to move on that tonight, though they did move on a range of other measures.
You've made the point that, I mean, and one of the things that, we saw at the weekend, people on beaches, people not taking this message seriously. There's two things in that. One is so many people in our society are not engaged with the message of the political class, for one thing. Yep. And the other part of it, and perhaps the disturbing part of it, is that the people who are engaged are deeply cynical about the messaging of the political class. And between those two things, we don't take them seriously.
No. And, we've all talked about this for years and years, the sort of decline of political trust, and we're now reaping its rewards. I think you can look at politicians and say, have they been doing a good job? Can they organise, a stimulus package or whatever? But, it's so shocking to just see people just going, yeah, whatever. Now, it's not just because they don't trust politicians, but without a doubt, that's a really big factor. And what do they do in these circumstances? I mean, one argument is you just put up the medical experts. But that's fine in a situation, say, like AIDS, where it's basically a medical issue. But this is an unprecedented economic shock. The only thing you can compare it with is a war, because it's supply, it's demand, it's the labour market, it's the capital markets, it's everything. The government of the day, the governments of the day, so it's both federal and state, have to deal with the realities of, what the fallout of that is, and somehow try to sort of stagger the impact of it as it happens, because, the place has basically fallen off a cliff in the last couple of weeks, and people's lives are just being completely upended.
Well, the tricky bit is we're still in free fall. We
correct.
Haven't hit. I mean, I think it, Sorry.
I was just going to say, I mean, one of the things is, you know, you think about, you know, stimulus package. I mean, that's that sort of seems so old school now. I mean, it is a free fall, and even the idea that you can somehow short circuit that by a government announcement has sort of gone out the window in the last week, I think. All that government in, you know, with a small g can do at this stage is basically put in the safety net underneath, so that as it falls, it cushions the blow. It's not about, you know, giving us all a bit more, you know, lurk in our perk, or is it perk in our lurk?
Or the capacity to borrow money, or getting a bit of a tax break. I mean, those things seem ridiculously complicated.
Well, one, ridiculously complicated, but seriously, is anybody in their right mind in business going to go out
I'm
going to
get a loan.
Exactly. That sounds like a good idea. I've got
a loan at last.
Concession. Hurrah.
I may die. I'll never have to pay it back.
Woohoo. Yeah. No, it's all those equations completely go out the window at a time like this. People just need money to keep functioning. Mm.
I suspect when this is done, and hopefully in some reasonable amount of time and some reasonable amount of order, that we might sit back and think about what we've been doing in these past three or four decades and the way in which we've treated politics and the way in which we've treated the role of government in our society, perhaps come to some different conclusions.
Yeah, well, even if it's not that sort of intellectual a process, if you think about the way
it just happened organically.
That's right. If you think about the way the role of government was changed by, say, the Second World War in Australia, you know, the fact that federal government was basically established in a serious way for the first time after the Second World War, and there was this huge role for government. I mean, I think we will sort of end up at a completely different point in terms of what governments actually do in an interventionist sense at the end of this period to the one we started with. And, you know, the discussion will start anew. It won't necessarily be that we actually digest that this has happened. We will recognise that it has happened because it had to happen. Mm. And you know, the fallout will go on for years, but we will be sort of starting from a completely different point to the one we've entered this complete crisis from.
Laura, do one thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Stay isolated. As best you can.
I'm doing my best, Jonathan.
Laura Tingle, Chief Political Correspondent, 7:30.